Morning. I want to acknowledge, before I get started, my colleagues Caroline Campbell and Tammy Woodson, who were my STD experts who helped me with this. I've been doing HIV prevention for 22 years and not particularly involved in partner services, and I find myself here at the National STD Conference talking to all of you. So it was a true partnership between HIV and STD on this project. We really wanted to look at improving our partner services outcomes. We know there's a lot of mistrust and information in the community. We get lots of complaints from our community-based organizations about the health department and how they do things. And we really wanted to try to market partner services to providers and to clients and really use the strengths of our community partners because they have good rapport with our clients and they can often talk to folks who don't want to talk to us. So we did three approaches. The first is a disclosure assistance services campaign, and I have to acknowledge the state of California because I attended an HIV meeting and they were doing a disclosure assistance services campaign, so I borrowed the idea or the concept and then took off with our own direction on it. And we also did kind of a roadshow. We went around the state to talk about partner services, not to train people in how to do it, but to explain why we did it, why it was important, and what types of outcomes we saw, to get a little bit more buy-in from providers. And then the third was our partner elicitation project with the CBOs. So with the campaign, we tested in three health districts with the participation of both the health districts and CBOs. They help us refine the materials. It was a very low budget campaign. It just consisted of pamphlets and a series of 9 postcards with little vignettes on them. 4 of the postcards we made into posters, and then we had a web page with frequently asked questions. It was very low budget. You scraped together some carryover dollars to fund it. We didn't have billboards, we didn't have radio ads, and the CBOs and the health districts helped us get the message out there, deliver to clients, clinics, libraries, throughout the area. We really wanted to show partner services as something that was done for the client, not something done to the client. It's always been, you have to go talk to us, you have to do this, you have to do that. So it's like, what can we do for you? And we really wanted to introduce the concept of partner services before someone got a diagnosis, when they're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, somebody's cheated on me, or I have HIV, or, you know, they really don't want to talk to us at that point. And we wanted to promote the anonymous nature of third-party notification and really stress that anonymity piece, and provide the disease intervention specialists with some tools when they were trying to convince providers to cooperate with us, as well as to get the input from the CBOs as well. So the results were that 72% of the people thought the materials were effective in providing tools to assist the staff, as well as getting and improving cooperation from private providers, and they really thought the materials were helpful in explaining partner services to clients. Our web page averages over 300 hits a month now, which may not be big for some areas, but for us that's pretty good. And one of the most impressive results for us is our hotline actually started to get calls from people requesting partner services from us, and that had never ever happened before. Now, we don't get a huge number of calls, but we definitely have people calling saying, hey, you know, I just got a diagnosis and I need to talk with someone because I have partners who need to find out. So we were very pleased with that. There were some limitations. Not all of the pilot sites got started as quickly as we would have liked. We only had a few sites participating, so we didn't have a lot of results that we could say, wow, we made a huge difference in partner index or anything like that. But people were pleased that they had a tool that they didn't have before. So our roadshow was everything you wanted to know about partner services. It was just a 2-hour talk that we targeted providers, CBOs, and health department staff. And it was really to dispel myths, explain benefits. We found there was a lot of misinformation out there about providers, people who weren't aware that CD4s and viral loads are reportable to the health department, even if they don't report them, that the lab reports them. They're going, well, we don't know how you found out about our client because we didn't report him. So now they know, and they understand the importance of why we want to do partner services. And we definitely had providers, including Ryan White, HIV service providers, who kind of got it and were like, oh, we really need to do cooperate with your staff. We're like, yeah, thanks. So, partner elicitation project was the biggest piece. We had 4 CBO test sites that were selected to participate in 2006, and it took a while to really get this rolling and to really make this program happen. We had to do multiple training sessions on partner elicitation, completing field records and interview records with them. There's a written protocol and a flow chart that had to be developed, and that really needed the ongoing support from the program staff. And in this case, it was our STD surveillance program consultant, who had lots of great field experience that my staff and I don't have, they've been in the field for years. They know the terminology. They never had to provide the technical assistance. My staff primarily monitor contracts for HIV prevention. So it was definitely a new world and a new area of collaboration for us. The CBOs elicit names and locating information from their clients who test positive for HIV, and those clients are coached to bring their partners in. And they only have about 48 hours to do this. We tell them, we give them 3 days, but we try to aim for 2 days. If those partners don't come in, or if the client doesn't bring the partner in, then that information, the field records, get forwarded to the local DIS for traditional follow-up. In no circumstances can a CBO go out and locate a partner. Our state regulations forbid them from doing that. Only the health department can do part of the activity. So this whole project is all based on the partners coming in with the original client. And that was happening anyway. As the CBOs were testing people, the clients were showing up the next day with their partners in tow. So we thought, well, why don't we just formalize this procedure a little bit? We needed to do refresher trainings. There was a lot of retraining that needed to be done on the forms because there's always staff turnover and people who just thought they got it but didn't quite get it the next time. We had to work a long time to get buy-in from the local health districts who said, you know, this is a traditional public health activity. You can't do that. We're not comfortable with this. And we worked through it. It took a while. And there were issues that we hadn't anticipated, like who's going to do a re-interview? Does the CBO do it? Does the health district do it? Do we do it on a case-by-case basis? You know, who gets copies of which paperwork when? So all of that took some time to work out. This is preliminary data for 2009 for the four CBOs who they had a contact index of 1.9 compared to 0.8 for the state. And they're actually combined into that 0.8. So if you took them out of that, that number would probably be lower. And this is for HIV only. And actually, one of the CBOs isn't doing quite as well as the other three. We have one of the four CBOs who has a partner index of 3.4, and two have over 2. So I wish we'd get that fourth one up a little bit and make these numbers look better. And then more results is they had a similar amount of time in how they got the clients in, interviewed within 3 days. And to me, most striking is the percent of new positives out of the people tested were 30% among the CBOs compared to 17% for the state. So I think this provides good evidence for this that we really want to continue this program, strengthen it, and look at ways we can really partner with these CBOs for this project. They really have done a good job at developing trust and rapport with the clients. They do have a smaller caseload focused on HIV only. They're not dealing with syphilis and gonorrhea and chlamydia. And they have clients who are voluntarily seeking services from them rather than having us go knock on their door. So they have a little bit better chance for cooperation and collaboration that way. One of the issues they do say is like, you know, you might as well talk to me, because if you don't, the health department's going to come knock on your door anyway, so why not talk to me now? And the clients are like, oh, okay, here's the names. So in our CBO in the rural area, who has the highest partner index of 3.4, 100% of their HIV positive clients, when they achieved that index, were MSM. So our population, we traditionally have the hardest time interviewing. So our overall benefits is we really have gotten buy-in from the community instead of fighting from the community to promote partner services. And clients can generally, most of the time, just share information with one person or agency. They feel like their confidentiality is a little bit more protected. We're getting an increased number of partners identified and really improved collaboration. And the collaboration is not just between us and the CBOs, it's actually within house as well. We've had a lot more collaboration between the HIV and the STD side of the aisle, which even though we're an integrated program, sometimes, you know, we stay in our own little areas and we don't talk enough. So we really want to look at, is there other ways that we can expand this? Is there a way to involve syphilis? Between the health departments and the community, we're seeing more joint screening efforts, syphilis and joint STD HIV testing, which before they didn't really want to always talk to each other. So there's definitely a greater collaboration. And in this time of difficulty with resources, I think it's something we're really going to look to. And I definitely want to expand the program to include other CBOs as well. And we generally try to choose those ones that are very high performing, complete all their paperwork, and do everything on a timely basis. So in terms of the materials I sent around, there's 9 different postcards, and they all have a person on the front with a little vignette, and then they're kind of their story on the back of how partner services helped them, and then the pamphlet that people use for outreach, and all of these are available in English and Spanish. And I'm happy to take any questions.
I had a question about the data you presented. Mm-hmm. You said that the CBOs were given 3 days, and if the partners didn't come back, did the CBO data just include the partners that were came in on their own in 3 days, or did it also include partners that DIS went out and got?
It only included the ones that they interviewed.
The CBOs
interviewed, right.
From a hotline, partners at the state?
Yes.
So if anybody can just call and say, I need partner services from the state?
They can, but obviously then we've got to have medical evidence that they really have an infection and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, then if the hotline staff get a call in like that, they forwarded it to one of our program consultants who then talks with the person, finds out who their medical provider is. They could get a release for their test results and find out what the story is. Because then we also get the calls of, you know, my neighbor's having sex with everybody. You need to go interview him. Or, you know, my ex-boyfriend gave me something. So we do make sure it's medically based before we pursue that type of an event. Yeah. Yes, we did. So when I showed the new positives, those were excluding previous positives. Those were all true new positives to us. Yeah.
Matt, is the health department giving you that information on those patients? Are they openly giving out previous positives on HIV patients?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite get that.
You said you tracked in the previous positives. How are you providing that information on those patients? They have previous tests. Is the health department giving out that data as far as their early tests?
When the case report comes into the central office, then the staff in the central office are checking it. So the CBO might not know that that person was a previous positive, but we'll find out at the health department if they were or not. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, because at our state, we're not allowed to give out that information to CBOs.
We don't give that back to the CBOs. So if they had 10 people who tested positive and 8 of them were new positives and 2 of them were previous positives, they probably don't know that, but we know at our end. Just one sitting in the aisle? Yeah.
Yeah, we got a little party going. can you speak a little bit about the linkages to care and how that's worked for y'all?
That's one of the pieces we haven't gotten to all of the evaluation on yet that I want to get to. Our CBOs have been doing a pretty good job with that because many of them are care providers as well or work directly with the care providers. So I don't have a full answer for you yet, but it's one of the areas that's kind of our next set of analyses coming out of this. There's some other stuff we would like to do with the data as well in terms of like looking at the cases that of the partners who don't come in that didn't get followed up by the DIS, what happened to those folks, you know, what were their outcomes. So
we've got time for one more question. Did you have yours hand up before?
Yeah. Actually, I just had a quick statement. You talked about collaborating with the CBO. And then you made the statement that at the CBO they said, you know, well, you might as well talk to us because if you don't,
I know.
It's going to come and talk
right.
Anyway. Have you worked on kind of reframing that message?
We've talked with them about that and said, you know, you don't also always want to set it up this way because we may have to go out and interview that person. And even amongst the ones that aren't doing this project, we're getting more collaboration where they have a partner who's coming in for the confirmatory test results and they'll call the DIS and say, hey, you know, my client's coming in today. Why don't you come over and we can talk to them at the same time? And so we're seeing more of that too. So it isn't just the we're going to hold a stick over your head, tell us, or that we're sticking the health department on you. So, yes.
Okay.